Being compassionate goes so far in this business. And you're dealing with people that have hard things in life.
100%.
And it may not be hard for you, but it's hard for them.
At the foundation, if you're just focused on the conversation you're having, you're showing up present, you're actually listening, those things work themselves out. They'll negotiate for you.
Guys, welcome to this video series called How to Be a Real Estate Closer. And what we're doing in this entire series, and we're going to continue to add to the series, is content and training all around how to be better at closing real estate deals. And so I brought in the expert, Daniel Quijano. Awesome to spend time with you. I'm learning so much. Thank you for doing this with me.
Likewise, man. It's been fantastic.
And Daniel and I, Daniel put on a competition, a closer competition here a few weeks ago. And people had to qualify for this. I think, would they have to pass certain tests to get there?
They had a tryout, then they had to make it through like this gauntlet of role play tests, and then they made it to the main event.
Yeah, and I got invited to be part of that, and there were, I think, 10 of us, and we got leads that we had to call all day long. And so what we're going to do on this call, like we've done on previous videos, is we're actually going to take a live call break, and we're going to break it down, and we're going to dissect it, and Daniel and I are going to talk about what we did, why we did it, and really get into the psychology of sales, positioning, mirroring, you know, all the things that go into good communication skills.
Yep.
And really also like, why did I say that? Why am I doing that? How is that leading to a deal or a close? And really try to then put it back into how you can apply this. Like, that's the whole goal. The whole goal here is how can people apply this if they're brand new, maybe they have no sales experience and they're getting into real estate.
Yeah, that's exactly it, guys. Like, I've worked with thousands of new real estate investors. And one of the common themes that you get is you're like, oh, well, but that's just Jerry Norton, right? I can't do that. I'm not Jerry. But God, you can, right? And that's the goal of what we're trying to take out of this thing. Jerry's being vulnerable and he's showing you all of the things that he did well, but he's also being willing to show the things that maybe he didn't do perfect, right? Because at the end of the day, none of us are perfect. Mm-hmm. We're just figuring this out. Jerry started somewhere. And hopefully as a result of this series, we're going to give you guys a big shortcut to save maybe 10 years off of what Jerry had to learn on his own by paying, you know, for different things and learning the hard way, and help you guys learn it in this series and get better at these conversations.
Yeah, we're even going to do so. So keep watching the series, because we're even going to do a, you know, some calls that didn't go so well. You know, the seller was maybe aggressive or angry and I didn't approach it very well. We got a call like that I think we'll do. So keep watching the series, because we're going to get to some of that as well. Because like you said, you know, I don't hit a home run every time.
Sure.
Sometimes I'm off my game. Sometimes I have a bad call. Sometimes I misread somebody, or I do something that I think was going to work, but it doesn't work. But the one thing I do is I just bounce right back. I just get on another call. Every call is a new day.
Yep.
Like, it's a new start every single time.
Yeah. And here's the thing, guys, if you don't do that, people can tell, right? Here's the thing. If you're not doing face to face and you're doing over the phone, you have to make up for a lot of the gap that exists in that human interaction by them not seeing you. Right. They can't see your facial expressions, but what they can pick up is your tone. They can pick up on your energy. You got to deliver that.
I have a call, Daniel. You'll find this. You should go back and watch it. I'd love to hear what you think of it. But I did this call and I had the camera on and the call went horrible and the seller was rude to me and I was rude back, which you don't do.
Yeah.
But I was. And I remember that day because I'd been on the phones all day. I was tired and my energy was bad. And I didn't know it until I saw myself on the camera. I tell people, video yourself.
Yeah.
And if you're like, man, you look pissed off, then imagine what that's coming through on the phone.
Yep.
And so I watched this video and I'm like this, and I'm not smiling and I'm like impatient. And then I asked the seller a question and the seller says, now, why would you ask me that question? And I just was like, this is why I would ask that question. And
wow.
And afterwards I'm like, okay, delete this. This was a terror. And then I thought, you know what? I don't know. I'm used to just being open with everybody. I'll just use this as like what not to do.
Yeah.
So then I did a breakdown of that call of like, look, guys, watch what I do. That's not what you do. That was really bad.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think it's important. Like, people have to hear that, because it doesn't matter. You have bad days. I don't care how good you are. Yeah. I don't care. You're going to just sound like an idiot sometimes, right? You're going to mess up. We're human. But knowing that it's okay to do that and just push forward, it's huge. I think it's going to help a lot of people that are like right at the edge. Like, I can't do this. Yes, you can. Just pick up the phone and do it again.
Yeah. Better. It's one of the reasons why on my YouTube channel, I like to do success stories of people's first deal or brand new investors.
Yeah.
Because when someone comes on there and they're like, yeah, I got started, you know, a month ago or 4 months ago or whatever, and here's how I got my first deal. Now it becomes believable.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, when Jerry says he does a deal, oh, well, that's Jerry. Of course he can do it, but I can't. When you see someone just like you, brand new, do it and have success and make money and get a deal, it helps people really feel like, okay, well, if that person can do it and they just got started, maybe I can too.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Please don't think when you're listening to this today, think, oh, well, yeah, there's no way I could ever sound like that. Guys, it's not true, because there are people that come into this industry with no real estate experience and close deals.
Yep. I remember the very first time we first started the Nightly Dial, this was 2.5 years ago now. There was a guy, active duty Navy, right? Deployed overseas, was stepping into the Zooms because he wanted to get a deal, because his goal was to make enough money to get out of the military, right? So we're on the call. He was sporadic because he's deployed. I get a message one day. It's actually on my website. He's like, hey, DQ, just wanted to say thank you, man. I made a phone call. That's what he said, right? He didn't say, I'm a spectacular student. He didn't say, I've been doing this for this long. He said, I did my best to sound the way you sound when you make calls, and I locked up a deal, and I'm going to make $77,000 because of it.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
He just got around people. He did his best to take what he could out of it. And then that resulted in almost $100,000, right? Crazy. So guys, maybe you don't become a pro after watching this video, but maybe you sound a little bit more like Jerry. And as a result, you make another gigantic deal, and that pushes you closer to getting your goals done.
Yeah. Love that, guys. So good. Well, that's good context. So let's dive into a call right now, guys. And what we're going to do is we're going to listen to the audio, and then we're going to pause it along the way. And this is an 18-minute call, almost 19-minute call. So it's going to be a long video, but I'll stop it. Or Dan, if you want to say something, stop it. And we'll just talk about what's going on and why.
Yep.
Okay.
Hello.
Yes. Hi. Is this Dunn?
Yeah.
Hi. Nice to meet you. My name's Jerry. Calling you about your property on Graham Lane. Yeah. Are you going to sell that property?
Okay. So let me stop right there. So just like my other ones. Hi, this is Jerry calling you about this property. Are you looking to sell? Now, remember, I forgot to set this context up. You saw it if we watched the previous videos, but I try to follow the, I call it the five C's of tonality, which is, I always can't think of it when I say it, but confused, cheerful or playful, challenging. What are some of the other ones? That's only three of them. I got them right here. Concerned or curious. Now, sometimes I like to start out a call. I didn't really do it as much on the other ones, but I like to start out a call super confused.
Yeah.
I'll be like, is this, I think I'm looking for Dunn. It's not at all what you would think a sales guy would do. You want to come out like, hey, I'm nice to meet you. I'm Jerry and I'm with ABC Company. And you know what I mean? And sometimes I'll just, and it's just a pattern disruptor.
Sure.
It's all it is. People are like, or I'll say like, I'm looking for, I think Dunn. Or sometimes I'll be like, I'll rattle paper and I'll be like, I got some tax records here and I'm looking for, I think Dunn, the owner of XYZ property. And people are like, you're looking at tax records? That's my property? Like, what?
Yeah.
And all I'm trying to do is just keep somebody from just going click.
Yeah.
Makes sense? Okay. So let's keep going.
We're in the process of thinking about it, but we haven't seen it yet, have you?
No, I just...
Okay, so just make sure, because it's kind of hard to hear. I asked, are you still looking to sell that property? And she's like, we're in the process of thinking about it. So not super clear here, right?
Yeah.
Even though this is a follow-up call where she clearly said, yes, I want to sell to the lead source that provided this lead for us.
Yeah, and when I hear that, automatically I hear, this is a conversation they've had multiple times, probably with multiple people. This is bigger. We're seeing the top of a much bigger iceberg here.
And there's clearly objections.
Yeah.
We're at the top of the iceberg, but there's objections. For sure there's objections, right? So she's got guard up.
Yep,
100%. 100% guard up.
I just have a little bit of information. My associate told me that had talked to you and said that you were looking to sell that property. So yeah, I just called to see what I can do to help you.
Okay. Well, I still have...
So notice I didn't say, what price do you want?
Yeah.
Where I did on the other ones.
Yeah.
And now, why do you think, now, again, guys, always be asking when you're listening to sales experts or you're dissecting calls, always be like, well, why did he do that? Know that there's a reason every single time. There's nothing I do where I don't have a, said intention. I'm always intentional.
Yep.
She was super unclear about even wanting to sell.
Mm-hmm.
So then it wouldn't make sense to be like, well, what price do you want? When she just said, I'm thinking about selling.
Yeah.
So I kind of, now I'm trying to finesse a little more.
Yep. Well, I mean, and it's just, again, you're walking in there and sometimes it makes sense to just barge through the door. Sometimes you want to kind of open it a little bit more slowly, make sure you're not waking anybody up, you know, and just be a little bit more cautious.
Like the last call, I was like, or do you want to sell that? Oh, yeah, I want to sell that. I mean, remember how he jumped up?
Yep.
He like
super
came
excited
to life.
Yep. Yeah.
2-bedroom of furniture. I just need to get out. The furniture's been broken down. I just need to get it removed and remove the china cabinet, and then just kind of look to see what little things need to be done. Or you
will. Okay, so elderly, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can gather that she's elderly. She's talking about, I got to remove some furniture, a china cabinet, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So immediately I'm like, okay, not real clear communicator on her part. I'm probably going to have to navigate through like what's going on here. This is not going to be easy. So elderly people can be challenging because they're just, are they real? Do they really want to sell? Do they have the means? Is their family involved? Like what's going on?
Yeah.
I'm very cautious with elderly people.
I'm going to share, we've talked about this a couple of times, guys, where I talked about not just fact finding, but profile building, right? I'll explain a little bit, if you don't mind, what I'm hearing in this lady. So if I'm listening to this call, this is what I'm hearing. I'm hearing a woman right now who's got a lot on her plate. She's tired. She's got a lot going on. She's probably the head of her household, whether that household is a husband that she's helping because of health issues, or it's a family that she's carrying stuff for. The type of tone that I'm hearing in this person is the same type of tone of the person that you hear that's dealing with a probate situation, and they're having to navigate and they're fighting with the family. I'm not saying that's the circumstance here. I'm saying that's the tone, right? And so what I'm listening for in this circumstance is, one, I'm going to dig deeper. I'm going to, with a compassionate tone in my voice, I'm going to say, well, what's going on? Talk to me a little bit. Like what? I'm going to get them to realize you're the wall for everybody else in your family. I'm going to be the wall for you. I'm going to be the one that you can lean on when
sounding
things are
board.
Tough, right? Let me be the sounding board. Come to me, right? Just let that go on me so you don't have to, you're safe here, right? And then while I'm simultaneously doing that, they're going to start opening up a lot. When people feel safe around you, we've talked about this a lot. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm listening for. How do I know this? I'm just listening to things that they say. When people explain what they're doing and they use elongated ways of explaining it, that just means that that's their words explaining in a brief second all of the stress that they're carrying with them. You combine that with her tone of voice, there's some pressure here.
Yeah, you can sense that she's feeling the pressure of this property and like something going on with furniture.
Yep.
And so things are weighing on her,
right?
And we know that in the first, under a minute.
Yeah.
Or are you willing to buy as is?
Oh, certainly, we can buy it as is.
She asked if I would buy it with furniture, basically as is, is what she asked. And I'm like, oh yeah, certainly.
What price are you looking for?
Okay, so I did get the price. That might not have been the right.
I asked for 125.
125?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. I'd love to see if I can do that.
Okay. We do know that there is some work that needs to be done.
What work needs done?
Okay, so I asked what price. She says 125. So she came right out of the gate and just said, here's my number.
Yeah.
Now, having that first context, looking back now, I don't know if I would have asked price yet, maybe. I mean, it worked out because she said her number.
Yeah, I don't know that it's a win or a loss either way.
Okay.
Here, I think that the core of the solution here for her, she believes her most important thing is money, and I believe that's a big part of it. But there's another part that nobody's addressed is that it's the pain, right?
Yeah.
And I think that the winner, one big W here would be to say, I understand it's important, but let's talk about something else. And I think that's where...
What's causing you...
Yeah, correct. Yeah,
what's your concern? What's causing your pain? Okay.
Well, there's... we know there needs to be a new roof, the home
section. Oh, so she said there's work that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, normally I have to kind of uncover that, but she just came right out and said, hey, just so you know, there's work that needs to be done. So I said, okay, well, what work needs to be done?
Yeah.
For 4 years, there's no utilities on in the house.
Okay.
My mother.
No utilities on in the house. Is that what she just said?
Can we rewind that and hear that without messing the whole thing up?
I don't know how this thing works.
What is it? Does it say what time we're at? At least we'll. Okay, we're at 1:31. So maybe we just go back to. Nope. Yeah, it doesn't let us do it. Okay, let's guess.
Let us do it.
Oh, that I think we're good.
Okay.
My mother passed away 5 years ago. It'll be 5 years in May, and no one's lived in it for 4 years.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So, husband passed away 5 years ago.
Was it husband or mother?
Oh, mother, maybe. Is that what she said?
Maybe. Yeah, it's hard
to hear. No one's lived in it for 4 years.
Correct.
So, it's sitting vacant. No one lived in it. So, mom's house, inheritance.
Gotcha.
Sounds like, right?
It sounds like it, yeah. So, okay. I mean, maybe my suspicion about the tone of it is actually a little bit more accurate than I originally thought.
And maybe not as elderly as... It sounds.
Yeah.
She sounds elderly.
Yeah, maybe she's in her mid-40s, right?
Or could be even, mom could be 90 and she's
correct.
Maybe 70,
she's older. Yeah.
So
now,
It's not complete. Well, it still has furniture in it, but it has not been, it hasn't been lived in 4 years.
Okay. But it's vacant right now still.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm just asking follow-up questions because I want to know, have they been renting it or like what's going on? So she said, no, it's vacant. So it's been sitting empty for 4 years. So there's probably some serious deferred maintenance.
100%. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. So it's been vacant for 4 years. Wow.
Yes. It just, part of it is just the fact that my mom and I were really close, and there were just some things. And it's just hard. I have been a caregiver for the last 12 years to her and her parents. And so when everyone passed away, I just kind of had to get a break and get out of Waco for a while. I did. I left. I came back. I started working and just hadn't had time to get there. But I finally got everything out of the house except two bedroom furniture, set, a china cabinet that still has some china in it. And there's some things that probably need to be swept up and cleaned up so we can really look and see if there's anything in there that we need to do before trying to sell it. I don't know. But I guess if you want to look at it and see before, come and look at it and see if the 125 is doable, then let me know and we can meet up to do that. We can meet up for you to look at it.
Well, first of all, sorry about your mom.
Okay. So I don't know how long that was, but she gave a really good summary of what went on there. Did you guys catch that? So let's kind of recap, because this is important. You got to listen to this because you're trying to uncover what's the pain here.
Yep.
Super close to mom, caregived for 12 years. Mom passes. She says, I left. I came back. I just needed to get a breather. So clearly this wore her down taking care of mom. And you know what? I lost a brother and helped with that through cancer. He was young, but like, anybody who can relate to caregiving for an elderly person, that's hard.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot. 24 hours. It's emotional and you're losing a loved one, especially if you're close.
Yeah.
And so she just needed to get away. But here's this property. She knows it's sitting there and that she needs to do something. She goes back to the property, does some cleanup, like, oh, we cleaned it out, but there's still stuff in two rooms and a china and it needs swept and this and that. So all of this is just weighing on her.
Yeah. Here's the thing, guys. Like, notice we talked about profile building. So I'm going to keep hammering this in because it's super important. At the beginning, I had a suspicion based on a couple of the things that I heard in her voice. I haven't listened to this call before. You're not always going to get it right, guys. I'm not always right. But why is it important to potentially see if you're on the right path? Because it frames the way I approach my conversation. So I'm approaching this, right, with a little bit more concern in my voice, and it comes to find out that in this situation, it's exactly that. She is tired. She did have a probate situation, right? And this circumstance is a little bit different because there wasn't necessarily drama with the family that we know of yet, but it was such a tough situation with her mom that she had to walk away from the house. It sat there vacant. Now she's back readdressing it, and she's going through all this stuff. So a lot of those emotions are coming back up, and you can hear that in her voice, which is, even though she mentioned the 125 being important, I think we can all agree that what's more important is her also getting the peace of mind that's going to come with selling this big piece of her life.
Yeah. And so my response after she explains all that is, first is, sorry about your loss.
Yep.
Right? Because more than anything, you know, if we get a deal or we don't get a deal, when you lose somebody you love, that's hard.
It's hard.
And man, I'm sorry you went through that. That's tough. And so being compassionate goes so far in this business. And you're dealing with people that have hard things in life.
100%.
And it may not be hard for you, but it's hard for them.
I've heard so many people on calls, somebody said that their family member just passed away. Oh, that's too bad. So tell me about the roof.
Yeah. Missed opportunity to show some empathy.
100%.
Well, first of all, sorry about your mom. That's really tough.
Yes, very tough. But thank you so much.
Did you grow up in the house then?
Yes, I do.
Great question.
Great question. Great question. So why would I ask that question? Does it matter? Does it help me do a deal? No. It's just I'm trying to draw out her emotion to this property.
You're sounding like a human who actually cares. Yeah. What a concept.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Wow. So you got a lot of memories there.
Very much. And then my house that I'm living in is right around the corner. 30 years later, me and my husband moved back into the neighborhood.
Okay.
I moved back into the neighborhood around the block, and my mother and her parents died in my home that I'm currently in right now.
Okay. Now, so on this home here, are you the owner, though, or is your mom the owner?
My mother being deceased, my mother was the owner of the home, but there was my, I have two siblings. I have a mentally handicapped brother, and then I have a sister. We're all, okay. Well, my brother really doesn't have much to say, but we're in agreement on selling, just so long as he has somewhere to stay and that, you know, we can take care of him.
Okay, so again, like this comes back to just a depth of understanding of real estate. When it's mom's house and mom passes, immediately you should be asking yourself who's on title, who has the right to sell the property.
Was probate done?
Was probate done? Yeah. Has it been done properly? Was there a will? Are you the executor of the will? Do siblings need to agree?
Yeah.
Probates and inheritance properties open up a whole can of other things.
Yep.
So, and that's definitely what's going on here is now this is an inheritance and there's multiple people.
Yeah. And guys, be really, really cautious when you ask these questions. Again, one of the easiest things to do when you're new at this is to steer away from the uncomfortable questions because you don't want to feel like you're touching on that. This is another reason why empathy is so important, because once you've been empathetic and you're a human, it's that much more acceptable for you to ask the important questions because you will spend 20, 30 days going down a deal that just can't get done because there's this one uncle or brother who just refuses to sign and you didn't address that early on. So just make sure it's important to really just make sure that everybody's clear at the beginning if you can.
I did a call one time, Daniel, where it was a similar situation, but the son that I was talking to that was selling had been the sole caregiver for mom.
Okay.
And the rest of the siblings didn't do anything. Now this is his perspective, right?
Sure,
so who knows what.
Yeah.
But according to him, he took care of mom. He's done everything. And no one else in this family has helped out do one thing. And so he just needed a shoulder to cry on and vent. So for a half an hour, this guy just vented and he was in tears over it all. Oh my God. I just listened and we didn't talk about anything. And after about a half an hour, he says to me, "Well, you know what, Jerry? I'm going to sell you this house."
Wow.
And like, we didn't talk about price or anything. And he just felt like somebody finally listened to him. And he just wanted someone to listen to
him. Probably for the first time in decades is how he felt.
And when he told me it, I was like, man, that must have been hard. I can't even imagine you doing all the work and your siblings not helping out. And now they want to, because what his problem was is they all want to sell the house now and they all want the money. So now it's like sharks in the water because there's money.
Yep.
And that happens all the time in families.
100%.
You know? People come out of the woodwork when there's money.
Yep.
Okay, so let's see where we go with this.
Yeah. I can only take care of him.
Gotcha. Yeah. When your mom passed, did you have to do probate or how did you handle the estate?
Since it's been over 4 years, we did an affidavit of ownership. We were able to sell some other property that she had.
Okay.
And so we haven't had any issues with getting anything sold.
Okay.
Okay.
So she sold she sold other properties. So I think clearly they're out of the woods of all of that.
And that paints a picture that the family's on board. It seems like they're selling able to the get through the deal, right? Mm-hmm. So this is helpful.
Yep. One thing I'll point out there though, like if we were to go, it's hard to rewind this, but if we were to go back and listen to that, I'm asking probing questions that are important to get to the bottom of things, but I'm slow.
Yep.
I'm kind of like,
the compassion in your tone.
There's a tone now where I'm like, did it go through probate?
I'm
trying to be sensitive.
Tonality matters, guys. Like I promise you to sit there and really spend time learning that because here's the difference. Oh, so did it go through probate?
Yeah. Has this gone through probate?
Yeah. Right. Versus, hey, so has this gone through probate? Yeah. You know, just the tonality change just makes a big difference.
It's huge.
Only thing we're doing is I have an uncle that we're fighting because he took some property that was supposed to go to my mother and he knows it, but he didn't do what he was supposed to do on that. And that's just some land. So we're going to work on I'm in the process of working on getting that done. It's just a matter of getting an attorney to call me back. But for as far as my mother's home.
So some internal drama, an uncle with an investment property, not this and not that. And again, when a parent dies and there's assets and it's not real clear, I've seen this destroy families over inheritance property. And so anyway, she's got a lot on her plate. She's got to get an attorney and deal with the uncle and stuff like that. Right. So you can see here, the pain is, she's just painting this picture that's allowing me to understand there's pain here.
Yep.
my sister and I are just trying to wait and see who's willing to offer us the 125 or come in at the 125. Because we told, because I did tell one person, he come back and said 125, made that offer, sent a contract for it, then came back and said no, 55,000. We said no, even with the.
So get that. Did you guys catch that?
Wow.
They came in. They came in with a 125 contract, and then they came back and said 55.
Yep.
Now, I don't know if that's the case here, but a wholesaler who overcontracts and then renegotiates as a strategy, I call that a mudslinger.
Yeah.
And they close 1 out of 10 contracts.
Yep. And they destroy 10 out of 10 relationships.
And they harm people. Yep. They harm the industry. They paint a really bad picture for wholesaling. It's such a sad thing to see. Yep. If that's what happened there, but that's a big jump from
it is.
Hey, yeah, no problem. I'll give you 125 and then I'm going to come back and try to get you at 55.
You almost know that's a strategy at those numbers, right? When I don't know about you, Jerry, when I hear what I just heard, I'm at 80, provided it pencils, I'm at 85%+. I'm getting this deal done with the information that I have. Yeah. I already know. I already know what they're dealing with. I already know what they've heard. I already know how to overcome this because we pay attention and you listen. But the profile, everything that's going on here, she needs someone to come in there and just be the rock and solve this problem. And we know we can do that.
Yeah.
Even with the house being in the shape it's in, we know that we should get at least 100,000. You know,
that's very.
I love it when they negotiate.
You and I look at each other. She's negotiating with herself right now. Yeah.
She just gave herself a $25,000 drop, guys. This is why you got to let them talk sometimes, right? Sometimes they'll do all the work.
So it sounds like you got an offer for $55,000, but your bottom line is like $100,000. Is that right?
Just a follow up question.
Yep.
The home has some good bones to it. It does. I've got to get my contractor back over there so he can tell me what we need to do.
So a couple ideas here, because I do this for a living, been doing it for a long time, is you have a couple options. You could spend some money and fix up some things. And if you did that, you certainly could sell it for a lot more.
Yeah.
But you have to deal with contractors. You got to come out of pocket with money. You know, it takes some time.
But I don't want anybody coming back in. Again, at the same time, I don't want anybody coming in and insulting me like these last few people have. One even came in and said, well, we're going with 88,000. And I'm like, I said, really, in all honesty.
So she just mentioned she had another offer for 88,000.
Yep.
So part of the thing when I hear 55, 88 is I'm also establishing market value, because now I'm hearing what
everybody else is
the low cash
in,
offers
right?
are coming in.
So
at.
They got it, they penciled it, they went maybe shopped it. So now we know where these numbers are needing to be.
Yeah.
88 sounds in my head, that's good, because I would have probably offered, depending on the conversation, you're anchoring it around 85, knowing the numbers, if I'm ballparking right now. It just sounds like this makes sense.
You actually really, in all honesty, I should be able to get at least $100,000 for it.
Oh, one thought too was she mentioned I got to get my contractor over there. So where, and then you hear where I went with that. I said, yeah, you know what? You could certainly fix it up and sell it. And the reason why I'm doing that is because in her mind, that's an option she's considering.
Yeah.
So now what I want to do is I want to disqualify that as a good option.
Yeah.
Or maybe it is a good option, but I know it's not, because she's exhausted.
She's exhausted.
You could tell it, like her voice is like,
taking on a flip is not what she needs right now.
No. Oh, my gosh. Even if she thinks it's what she needs, that's the worst thing she could do, because 100%. Contractors are not easy to manage. They're gonna overcharge her. They're going to, you know what I mean? Like all the things.
What is she going to make, an extra $10,000 or $20,000 at the end of the day?
It's
right?
not worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have to, in a way, I have to help her see that and come to that realization.
Yeah. It's 100. Yeah.
And nobody was begging. Nobody was budging. And basically, one of them just flat out said, well, it's going to need a new roof. So that's like $15,000 right there.
Yeah.
It's going to need this and it's going to need that. And he just started deducting stuff. I say, I'm not going to sell your house and then you take off what you think I'm supposed to pay for you to do it. I know. I'll keep it and pay to get it repaired before I do that.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, that's
okay. Thoughts?
You know what I'm hearing here the most? And I this is the first thing that came to mind when she told me about that contract situation, but it's continuing to play out. One of the things that I love about this, guys, if you guys decide to take the time to listen to what we're talking about in this series and really enhance your skills, be intentional about this, what you'll start to realize is that there's a landscape of business that's happening out there. And when I hear this, I immediately hear all of the bad sales tactics that other people used, right? Mm-hmm. Which that tells me, just think about it like, I don't know, some of the fellas, if you guys ever dated in high school, right? Well, if you knew that the people that they dated in the past were dirtbags and did X and did Y, you know where, you know the bar, right? So I know if I go and I raise that standard and I come with a better approach, they're going to be that much more interested. So all I know is that all I'm hearing is all of the bad things that horrible or unskilled salespeople did. And the second I come in here and I sound intentional, I actually have empathy, I actually care, and I actually am honest about the approach, that by itself, separate from the numbers, completely separate from the numbers, that by itself is going to get me the deal.
Yeah, that's giving you an unfair advantage, a competitive advantage over everybody else who's really botched this up.
Because what did we talk about before? At the end of the day, where are people most excited? They're not, we said this in the other video, you guys, they're not excited as much when the deal gets funded as they are as when the deal gets signed, because something happened there, right? And what we're doing is we're building the deal signing experience right now.
Yeah.
Well, that's smart.
If I start repairing it, because I actually told this one guy, he called me because he called me again. And I told him, I say, now that it's completely empty, you're more than welcome to come and look. Well, the furniture, there's still some furniture in there, but
I wouldn't worry about that. The furniture doesn't really matter. That's easy. We like to buy it just how it is, hassle-free. You don't have to do anything, fix anything, and get you some cash in your pocket. You can move on with life and not have to worry about this property anymore.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what my
I'd love to be able to help you out on it and see if we can do something.
Okay.
Tell me again. You got an offer for 55. Then did you say you got one for 88 as well?
Yes. Well, okay. No, there's no contract. The house is not under contract.
No, but somebody offered you 88.
Yes. And I even told him I felt like that was an insult.
88 was an insult.
Yes.
Yeah. So the minimum.
I've seen houses. My mom's house is bigger than these newer houses that they're building in Waco for $300,000, and you're only going to offer me $88,000. Come on.
Right. Yeah. So I'm just taking a look right now, but I just want to make sure I'm understanding you. If you got an offer for $100,000, would you take that and be willing to move forward?
Yes. Yes, okay. My sister and I would be willing to do that.
Okay, so that's going back to that. If
I could, would you?
Yep. If I could, would you?
Yep.
If I could make you an offer for $100,000, would you take that right now?
Mm-hmm.
Now, she told me I at least want to get $100,000.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to see if she's... At this point, I still don't know, like, are you really willing to let go of mom's house? Or, like, are you serious? Because you've talked to a lot of people.
Yep.
Like, how serious are you? So I'm just trying to find out, like, are you for real ready to do something? Because maybe she's not. Maybe she's just not going to pull the trigger. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And guys, like, again, this is another example in another one of these calls where without negotiating at all, just by listening and asking good questions, the price is getting reduced, right? Yeah. You didn't have to ask for a $25,000 reduction. Yeah. She offered that because you were asking the right questions.
Yeah.
We go from there. But I know that once I start working on it, if I get in there and I go ahead and get the roof fixed, I definitely going to be asking for more money since I'm, you know, or if there's any other big major repairs that I go in and get done and fix, I'm definitely going to be asking for more. But
if you didn't do any of that, if you could just get $100,000, be done with it, close in a couple weeks, have that $100,000 cash in your pocket so you don't have to worry about the roof and contractors and, you know, that's all tough, right? Contractors are hard to find good contractors. Yeah. They take a long time. You're going to have to put a bunch of money into it. It sounds like you just want to get rid of it and get some cash in your pocket.
Yes. Because like I say, I do take care of my mentally handicapped brother.
Well, here's what I'd love to do, I think could work, is, and tell me, did I have your name wrong? Is it LaMonica? Are you LaMonica?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're LaMonica.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so LaMonica, what I would do is I would just send over an agreement to you, real simple agreement that says we're going to pay $100,000 as is. You don't have to do anything. I'll even pay all the closing costs, so that doesn't cost you anything. You don't have to clean out those other bedrooms. You don't have to do anything. I'll make it super easy for you.
No, and I just want to know. I need to get the furniture out. I do want the furniture.
Okay, yeah, if you want it, that's fine. Yeah, if you want it, that's fine. But I'm just saying, I just want to make it really easy for you so you don't have to worry about all that. But if I did 100,000, the only thing I would ask for is a few days of due diligence where I can just come over there, take a look, do a walkthrough. And really what we're looking for is just make sure nothing's going on, like a foundation issue or anything like that. And as long as
I can definitely tell you no foundation. I can definitely tell you that because the other two guys that looked at it said, well, there's no foundation issue.
But yeah.
I know that,
Just so we're clear, at this point, the deal's already done. I don't have to hear anything else in this conversation to know that the deal is done, right? Well, we're going to listen to it. But just so you guys know, there are certain ways that the tone starts changing in the seller's voice where they're just they're future projecting the conversation and you're already getting. So the fact that no, the foundation's fine, right?
Yeah.
This deal's done.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know at 100, I might be overpaying because we know there was a 55 and an 88. But I'm also, I remember on this call, I don't have it up in front of me, obviously, right now, but I remember I was pretty excited about the comps and the value.
Yeah.
So 100 felt like a deal, but I also am a little leery of it because I'm not seeing this and I don't know how bad this house is.
Yeah.
I mean, we know a roof, we know some issues. It could be hammered and there's no way 100 works.
Yeah.
So that's why I may need to renegotiate, but I never go in to renegotiate. And I also, if I do renegotiate, I make it crystal clear up front.
Thank you.
So what I'm telling her is I'm saying, hey, I do need some contingency. I do need some inspection contingency so we can get over and take a look at it.
Yep.
And then I don't know if I do it here, but I'll say, and look, if we get there and we see a bunch of things that we're not seeing now or that I'm not unaware of, and the 100 doesn't work, I'm going to let you know right away.
Yep.
And now what have I done? I've told them, let's agree on 100, but hey, if something's going on here that I can't see right now, and we're just talking on the phone, I'm going to let you know. So I'm not going to wait till the last minute or do any kind of like gotcha or bait and switch or anything like that. I'm going to be super clear and upfront with you.
Yeah.
And so when you go in telling people I need to do an inspection and pending the inspection, we'll move forward or we won't.
Yeah.
And you're clear about that. That's ethical.
Yep. And guys, it goes such a long way. First of all, it's going to be powerful in this conversation because she already had an experience where somebody did this to her without the integrity, it sounds like, right?
Yeah.
So walking in integrity out of the first of all, it's the right thing to do. But second of all, it also makes people feel really good. So it's being a good person is actually good for negotiations, right? What a crazy concept.
Yeah, so doing the right thing.
Yeah, just do the right thing. It's always the right thing. So when you come into this, you're telling them in advance, hey, just so you know, now here's the difference. Here's the crux. You're not asking them. You're telling them, hey, do you mind if I have to? That's not the approach, right? The approach is, hey, just so you know, I like this number. I think this is going to work. However, if it doesn't, I want to tell you upfront the plan because I don't want you to run into the same circumstance that these other people did. I'm going to tell you it's right. And that it's just going to go such a long way.
Yeah, it's going to go so much better.
Well, there's no foundation issue.
Yeah.
I know that, and like I say, it's been empty for 4 years. There are no utilities on whatsoever in the house.
Yeah.
So when I go over, I have to go over during the day or on the weekends because I work until 5 o'clock. But
yeah, so what we would do, LaMonica, is we would do an agreement for 100, and then I'll just have a few days of a contingency in our agreement. I'll get my guy over there to do a walkthrough, take a look at it. We'll set that up later. And then as long as everything checks out and we can go forward, if by some chance it doesn't, like, you know, I'm not looking at the inside right now or anything, but if by some chance it's just needs way too much work, then I'll let you know right away and we can maybe come up with another plan and go from there. Because I do want to get you the most you can get for the house. Obviously, I want you to win and feel like you got all the value that you deserve from the house. You know, the investors that are coming in at like the 55 and the 88 and stuff, they're, you know, I get it because they're trying to probably buy it low enough where they can put a lot of money into it and fix it up and flip it and make a profit.
And the neighborhood that it's in and where we're at is pretty good. I mean, it's a neighborhood that.
So I'll stop right there. So, so again, that's what we just talked about. I'm setting the tone so that if for some reason this thing is really bad, and not only does it need shingles, but it needs plywood and everything. And there's water damage. And I mean, who knows, right?
Yeah.
If it's really bad, then I'm setting the stage. I'm setting the tone with the seller. I'm upfront. I'm honest about what I'm doing. I'm letting her know how I'm going to approach that.
Yeah.
And that's just, That's just having really strong ethics with sellers.
100%. And you do it with such confidence that, again, like, look at the tone, guys. Look at the consistency throughout all of Jerry's calls. You're always in control of this conversation. And so there's really not much you can say that's going to make them scared, because you say it in such a way that they're like, well, this guy sounds like he knows what he's talking about. So, yeah, it's fine. That's just part of the process.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Some people are wanting to get into because one of the houses are very good compared to where me and my husband have already lived.
Living
in a house.
Is it a brick exterior? Am I looking at that right?
Yes.
Yeah, it looks like a nice little house. Nice street, nice brick house.
It's
three bedrooms.
Nice. Right? That is nice. Yes, it's three. Well, now there's actually a room on the back. The garage
okay.
was converted into a room. So the home is probably about 1,600 square feet.
Uh-huh.
Because the garage was converted into a room when I was 8 years old, and then my mother added on a room.
Okay. Well, that's fantastic. Let's see if we can get that done then. I'm gonna have my helper reach out to you as soon as we finish our call.
Okay.
But they're going to reach out to you, and they're going to put together an agreement and send it over to you. Let me just confirm that I've got your email.
Now, I remember when I was looking at this, I think I was comping this thing at like 250 or something. Like 100 felt like a really good buy and really good value.
Yeah,
I felt like I was buying right.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah, and I mean, like this, if you really want to get creative in a situation like this, there's a bunch of moving parts. You can always do like an option agreement, right? If you really want to, just to kind of be safer.
I also take stuff down, so I might take it down, fix it up. I might take it down, resell it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have a lot of different exit strategies.
Yeah, I mean, it's just another great example, right? Like when you walk into the conversation, you actually focus on the conversation you're having. You have the active listening. You walk in the empathy. You make people feel safe. At the end of the day, right, these deals are negotiating themselves, right? So what's the sales training here? Guys, like it comes down, and if you notice, there's some differences, but there's also some consistent themes. And the consistent themes here is when you walk into the conversation and they feel comfortable that you know how to navigate this thing, right? If you guys got into an Uber and the person was steering all over the place, you're immediately getting out of that car, right? If the person's at the driver's seat and they're like, I've never done this before, you're immediately going to feel uncomfortable, right? But if the person, they know what they're doing, they know where they're going, they're familiar with the place, you feel comfortable just getting on your phone and paying attention to something else, right? And that's what's happening in these conversations. This is two times where they negotiated themselves down just because you were willing to ask the right questions. So a lot of you guys are in here and you're scared to talk about numbers. You say you don't know how to negotiate. Well, it's what did we say, right? It's not necessarily the real estate knowledge or necessarily your negotiation skills. You definitely want to work on those. But at the foundation, if you're just focused on the conversation you're having, you're showing up present, you're actually listening, those things work themselves out. They'll negotiate for you.
Yeah. Powerful. Yeah. So good. Well, guys, hope you got a lot of value out of that call. Leave a comment and let us know your biggest takeaway, what you learned. If there was something there that you thought was a great way to handle it. If you got any feedback, suggestions, we'd love to hear that as well. And let us know if you're enjoying the series. And also give a big shout out to Daniel. Guys, leave a comment and say, Daniel, you're a flipping genius. You know, thank you, Daniel, for being here and sharing and being so willing to give.
No, I appreciate you. We need to start a hashtag. Get it trending. WWJD. But it's what would Jerry do, right? If you're stuck in a phone call and you don't know how to navigate it, just stop for a second and ask yourself, what would Jerry do?
In this situation, what would Jerry do? Yeah, that's good. But honestly, like, that's what you should be doing is whenever, because the more you can then have a rebuttal or have a question or a response, the more things that come up and the more you're able to navigate through those, then
yep.
The same things come up every time over and over again. There's
over
only a handful of objections that ever happen.
Yep.
You know, every now and then I'll get stumped by something I've never heard before, but by and large, it's the same things every time. So just get used to it and you're going to do great.
100%. And here's the thing I love about sales and communication, Jerry, is you can get as good as you want, right? We're talking about largely surface level stuff. Now, some of it's profound, right? And some of it really does make a big impact. But the thing I love about this is how long have you been in this game?
20 years.
20 years. And you're still learning.
I'm still
learning. You haven't stopped learning.
I'm still a student.
Right? And so you can get as good as you want. It doesn't matter how long you've been doing it, guys. If you're on day one or if you're day 1001, you can still get better by taking little nuggets and things that you hear from people like Jerry and just allow it to have you grow.
Yeah, I love that. So guys, a couple of resources. Be sure to check in the links in the description. We're going to give you some scripts and some other resources that can really help you get better at sales on the phones, closing. And also want to invite you to check out Daniel's training. He's got a sales training for real estate closers to help you become a master closer. We're going to put that link as well in the description so you can learn more about that. And guys, thank you for joining us. Be on the lookout for more videos. We're putting all these videos in this series into a playlist, and I'll put that playlist link also in the description so you can see what other videos are going on. And be sure to check those out, because this is now deep diving into sales and allowing you to get better and better as you go through these call breakdowns and this content we're doing. So check that out as well, and we'll see you on the next call.